Ellen, would you like to introduce our guests, or should I?
Yes, I would.
I know one of them.
Cam Bellamy.
That is correct. I know.
Yes, and she's the executive director of our local Camp Hill.
Yes, Camp Hill Hudson.
Camp Hill Hudson and Solaris.
And Solaris is our center for the social art, located at 360 Warren Street.
So it's a short A, not a long A, the way Ellen was pronouncing it.
Solaris.
She said Solaris.
You say Solaris, I say Solaris.
Now I'm about to attempt Peter Bateson.
That's correct, yes.
Yes.
And exactly right.
And Peter is here...
From Long Island, the accent.
No. From England.
It was a joke.
All right, I see.
Yeah.
It passed me by.
Yeah, me too. Anyway...
Peter is here with an exhibition called Worldwide Weave. And I don't want to give the story away. I'll let you two tell it. Okay. I understand it's going around the world practically.
Yes, part of the world, not the whole world. But yes, it's an exhibition of 75 pieces of textile art created by workshops and groups of people with learning disabilities in 61 intentional communities. Wow. Located in 19 different countries worldwide, all belonging to the Camp Hill movement. And it's celebrating the 75th anniversary of the Camp Hill movement, the overarching organization, which started in Aberdeen in Scotland in 1940. So it's also the 50th anniversary of Camp Hill's presence in North America, and the 50th anniversary of Camp Hill's presence in Scandinavia. So those three anniversaries are all happening together.
I didn't realize the show was that big.
Yes, it's 75 pieces of
Camp Hill was that big.
For 75 years. And in fact, the movement itself has 121 communities in 25 countries. But the exhibition only represents 61 communities in 19 countries.
How many... I don't know the correct term. People do you serve throughout the world?
I don't know. It's a huge number. Many thousands.
Many thousands? Yeah, I mean, it's not. Yeah. Is it over 100,000 or?
Probably, yes. I don't know. I'd have to sit down and do some calculations. Mm. But
I had no idea.
The biggest places like Kopake Camp Hill Village, which is not far from here, is one of the biggest in the world. There are two or three other places of similar size, but not many. And they may have perhaps 20 to 25 houses and maybe 250 to 300 people living there, both people with learning disabilities and helpers and companions.
So sometimes they live with their own family in these communities, right?
No.
No, they don't?
No.
Oh, I thought they were. Okay.
No.
It's always with a companion or a...
They're always either sort of family-style houses, or in the case of a place like Camp Hill Hudson, which is the sort of new wave of Camp Hill places all over the world, urban communities, they tend to have small group homes for semi-independent living or separate flats and apartments for completely independent living, but of course with the kind of support that is necessary, because we believe that absolute individuality without the right kind of support leads to isolation.
Mm. We were so happy, or I was happy, when the Camp Hill first came to the city of Hudson, and I think it was the first time that you'd sort of broken out of that of the village in Kopake, and I think it's been highly successful, hasn't it, Cam?
Yeah, thank you, Ellen. Yes, Camp Hill Hudson is the first urban Camp Hill community in the United States. Yeah, we do have a sister urban Camp Hill community in Canada, where actually this exhibit has just come from. So yes, we started 8 years ago serving five individuals, actually across the street from you, Ellen, on Allen Street, and in two homes there. It was 3.5 years ago we were able to acquire 360 Warren Street Solaris, which, as I mentioned, is our center for the social art. Having that base, that center, has really allowed our community to grow. We now serve nine individuals residentially, four of them living semi-independently in their own apartments throughout Hudson, with housemates who live with them and give some supports. And we have a day program at Solaris where we serve 12 to 15 individuals depending on the day. And, yeah, have quite a thriving program.
And where do they come from? Where they live at home? With their families?
No. In fact, so the 9 individuals that we support residentially here in Hudson, they are all actually able to walk to Solaris mm-hmm. independently. So living in the town creates quite a possibility for independence for people who are unable to drive cars or so, the possibility to walk mm-hmm. in town and get to places of worship, get to the pharmacy, the local shops, and Solaris really provides a level of independence these people wouldn't necessarily have.
And they also have to get to work. Yeah. I see them going over to work in some garden that's on the north side someplace in Hudson, I'm not sure where. Or don't they go out to Triform, some of them?
We have one individual in our program who once a week goes out to Triform and works on the farm out there. We actually have a number of individuals from Triform who come here to experience city life and work in the town with us. We do a lot of volunteer work, including cooking at the Salvation Army Soup Kitchen once a week. One of our residents volunteers at the library and is very excited at the opening of the new library. We have an individual who volunteers at the Animal Kind regularly. We also deliver Meals on Wheels and really try to make an effort to really go in when we deliver meals and greet each person and get to know the individuals we are serving that way.
The system you have seems to require a lot of money. How is that raised? Do the families of the various people you serve pay a lot, or do you do it through fundraising? I mean, or is it a combination of all kinds of things?
It's a combination. So Camp Hill Hudson is different from many other Camp Hill communities in that we are largely Medicaid funded. People who are born with disabilities in this way in our system are entitled to
So anybody is eligible for this?
Anybody is eligible. We admit residents regardless of ability to pay. So our residential program is entirely state-funded. For Solaris, the state does not want to fund that. So to keep Solaris up and running, we are dependent on fundraising and a number of micro-enterprises that we run. So,
like the shop and things
yes,
like that.
Yes, we do have a
good shop.
So
the idea of the Solaris site is just a place where the people throughout the city can come together and do things and maybe weave.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do have a craft room there where we do do weave. And yes, we do weaving there. And we have a gallery space. We're able to host exhibits like the Worldwide Weave. We welcome a lot of community groups and community organizations in. We have theater groups, including the Actors Ensemble, Walking the Dog Theater that regularly perform at Solaris. Yes.
The weekly community dinner?
Weekly community dinner.
Which you and I have attended, Ellen.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Well, back to the...
have to say, Ellen, I couldn't believe you went back for seconds and thirds.
It was really good. So, where is this exhibition been so far?
This is the 23rd venue, and the exhibition tour started in England in December 2014. Mm-hmm. And then it went on a tour of 19 venues in England and Wales, and then up to Scotland, then over to Northern Ireland, and then the Irish Republic. That was in 2015. And then this year it started off in Switzerland, mm-hmm. and then came over to Canada, to Camp Hill, Ontario, in Barrie, which is a very similar setup to Camp Hill Hudson, an urban venture, also a relatively young community. And then we went down to New York City just for one day to be at the 50th anniversary dinner of Camp Hill in North America in a very beautiful venue in Tribeca, and then up here to Hudson.
You took the whole exhibition with you to New York as well?
Yes, yeah. It's relatively easy to transport because it all fits into 5 large suitcases and a big sports bag and a few boxes, so that's quite straightforward. And then after this, it will go down to Pennsylvania for 5 weeks in June, and then back over to Europe. And at the end of September, it will be in Oslo in Norway, in the City Hall, for the 50th anniversary celebrations of Camp Hill. in Scandinavia. And then the last stop on the tour will be in November in Helsinki in Finland, in the Central Library there. Hmm. So of all the, what will in fact be by the end, I think 27 or 28 venues, only two of them will have been Camp Hill communities. So they're all public venues, in some cases very prominent venues like the Scottish Parliament, or Winchester Cathedral, Dublin City Hall, the National Wool Museum of Wales, and in Scotland, the New Lanark World Heritage Site. So they're all places that were very prominent. And I have to add, free of charge, which was wonderful.
Are there different styles of weaving involved, or is it all kind of,
Yes,
there's different fabrics, different...
Not only are there different styles of weaving, there's every technique of textile or fiber art known to man, with just one exception, which is batik, the painting of wax paint onto silk. That's not there, but everything else is, including screen printing. And in some cases, the exhibits have perhaps three, four, five, or even more techniques combined into one picture. Not only that, they even have non-textile elements too, because many of the communities have several workshops, such as woodwork or pottery or glasswork or ceramics and that sort of thing. And some of the communities have very deliberately included all their workshops in the piece. So one piece has, for instance, the weaving background, the textile picture from the southwest of England, a scene by the sea, and it has ceramic butterflies, metal leaves, and wooden birds. So they consciously included all four of their workshops in the process. So it's hundreds and hundreds of people have been involved in the making of these 75 pieces of art.
Do you think there's anything particularly therapeutic about weaving that you've witnessed?
Absolutely, yeah.
How would you describe that?
Well, for 28 years, I was a class teacher in a Camp Hill school in England, working with children with learning disabilities. And weaving was part of the curriculum. And the very first thing that one can observe is that the action of weaving is a rhythmical activity which really helps children to calm down and to breathe steadily. Because many children with disabilities, especially when they're children, when they're young, they're very disturbed in every way. And they need these calming, rhythmical experiences in order to harmonize their senses, their coordination, and literally their breathing. So that's, you know, a very obvious thing. And then in time, their coordination improves enormously, the hand-eye coordination that's required for weaving as they get used to doing slightly more complicated things. It's tremendously educational and therapeutic, and every moment is a therapy. So, and then, of course, when they become adults, it becomes more of a work activity, which nevertheless has always with it these helpful, healthy and harmonizing effects as well as a secondary thing.
Can it ever actually lead to a job?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, I mean, not necessarily a paid job.
Right.
But in the in terms of Camp Hill, a long-term, steady and fulfilling job, which would be something where someone would feel, I'm part of this community. I have skills, I have great abilities, and I'm happy to do my part and create something which is for the good of everybody. And many of the pieces that are produced in weaving or pottery or any other craft in Camp Hill are very often sold. And so, for instance, one of the English equivalents of Copake Village, Botton Village in North Yorkshire, has a huge catalogue of goods that it sells all over the world. And it may well be that Copake has the same. So it's really a production, but with a community and therapeutic element added to it.
I think in Camp Hill communities, we also, one, we value the beauty of the items, the handcrafted items. So you will see each piece in this exhibit is beautiful and unique. In this particular exhibit, there's also the aspect of, I think, as you mentioned, Peter, individuals working on pieces together. So creating this community aspect, and it's not just one artist who has created each piece. Most of them are really created by a group of people, a community of artists. And again, we really strive in the Camp Hill communities to find the work that each individual can do. And each of us may not be able to create a finished piece on our own, and yet together we are able to create something of beauty. And that won't always necessarily be monetized, but it might be that we see our weaving on the table as a table runner or a tablecloth, or that the napkins that we use on the table are items that we have woven. And the work can be valued in that way also.
And I read someplace that all the pieces in this show are for sale.
Yes, they are. Some of them have already been reserved, but there's still quite a number that mm-hmm. are still available. And they'll stay with the exhibition until the end of November and then be delivered to their new owners, wherever they happen to be.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
And the show is up till May 16th. And are there hours you can tell us about?
Sure. The show is open through May 16th and will be available. It will be open to be viewed any time that our gift shop is open. So for consistency, that will be from 12 to 5 at least every day. Sometimes we're open till 6. But there will also be an opening reception tomorrow night from 5 to 7. So do come by then. Peter will be there. The curator, and there will also be some light refreshments. So, yeah.
What number again? Excuse me, what number at Warren Street?
It's 360 Warren Street.
360.
I remember it because it used to be,
it used to be called
Space 360.
Of course. Thank you, Ellen. You have a much better memory.
Well, no, that's a memory aid, only it's not my memory at all. Thank you so much for coming in. And just let me ask if there's anything else that you would like to tell us about what's happening with the exhibition.
Well, I think I've given you a picture of what's happening with the exhibition, but I would like to say that I've been in Camp Hill for a very long time, and I've seen most of the places in the world, and I've seen also similar urban ventures compared to Camp Hill Hudson, such as Barrie in Ontario more recently, places in England, Scotland, Ireland, Germany, Switzerland, Norway, and Finland. And once again, I'm really struck by the incredible vitality of such an impulse here in the city and how many friends there are. It's amazing.
Bill,
I've only been here for a few days.
Bill and Elias are two of the swinginest guys in this community.
Quite, yeah. It's amazing. It's a real magic. Once Camp Hill, and it wasn't always possible to do that, or perhaps the time hadn't yet come, but you know, some years ago it did come, and Camp Hill Hudson is another example of how Camp Hill can be down the street from you, and it can make friends, and it can really be part of the community, the wider community, and the people who live in Camp Hill and are supported by Camp Hill have so much to give, and the exhibition is just one aspect of what they can give and what they can mm-hmm. show they can do, but especially on the human level, the interpersonal level, they can really create miracles. And yeah, that should be known, that should be experienced, it should be available. And so that wonderful human quality of friendship and creativity and openness
to
the other person is here.
Yeah, we have a small city with a very walkable city. So, you know, people run into people a lot here, and it's not as impersonal as, you know, a major city is. Yeah.
So there are lots of new friendships and partnerships, which I'm sure will develop into the future and will have tremendous potential for creativity and mutual benefit.
Yeah. Well, we've been really fortunate to have such a welcoming city as Hudson. It's not just that it's walkable, it's that the people who are attracted to Hudson have been incredibly open and incredibly welcoming to Camp Hill and to Camp Hill Hudson.
It is the kind of place where people say hello to you even if they don't know you.
Yes, I've noticed that.
So hello. You know, I just flashed into my mind Camp Hill, Ghent, which is, what do they call it, elders in community.
Yeah.
And, of course, I'm, you know, conscious of what they're doing there because I'm, you know.
Why? You'll never age.
No, I'll never age. But anyway, that seems to be very successful, too. I mean, it's a... Have you been
to see it,
Peter?
Just the other day, on Monday evening, I was there. I've been looking forward to visiting there for a long time, and this was my chance. Yeah.
Are there other facilities around the world that are geared toward elders?
Not quite like that. It's really only the second place which has opened in Camp Hill, which is completely dedicated to care for the elderly. The first one was Simeon Community in Aberdeen, in the north of Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long, long time, that's been the only place. Although lots of other communities tried in a small way, perhaps with one house, or to create a space where older people could be cared for and supported, or perhaps just single rooms scattered around. You know, each place has tried to do something. But Ghent is really, as far as I'm aware, the second major step in that, to create a whole place just for that and designed for that purpose. And it's a marvelous place. It really is wonderful.
Well, it's interesting because it has so many different levels of not just care, but, you know, mixing up all kinds of people.
Yes, and no doubt there's a lot of mutual support from the more independent people.
Yeah. Well, thank you
so
much.
Well, we've been talking to Cam Bellamy of Solaris, the local Camp Hill meeting place at 360 Warren, and Peter Bateson, who is traveling with an exhibit. What's the name of the exhibit again?
The Worldwide Weave.
And it's 75 pieces of art.
Textile art
that are on exhibit at Solaris. Yeah. Thank you for coming in. It sounds like a great show, and I'll get over there to see it.
Great.
Thank you so much.
We look forward to seeing you. Thank you.
Thank you.